good interview with Dean Jerizar.
So I found myself in a continual position, vacillating this position, professional identity. I would say this is one of the smart operators, sort of recognizing who we are, the state of the business, and supporting the brother. So he didn't push hard at all. Just sort of held him in a little paradigm. Just like the leading horse along the road. Each time I grabbed the carrot and chew a little bit, it wasn't such a bad taste of vegetable after all. So I moved on to the next carrot. Pretty soon I found myself in the staff. Another influential professor, in fact, there were two others. One was Ed Peterson, famous professor in Pittsburgh. He was an English professor, taught the question of my degree. I was pretty proud of myself. More large words than virtually anybody else in high school class. And I used to string together very long sentences to impress everyone with my great knowledge of those words. And they went on for 5 or 6 lines. I would usually get good grades because I was showing display such an excellent command of the schedule. And I went into Peterson and wrote the first message. You're clearly one of those people who has decided that each time that the more words you describe the concept, the more effective it is. Before you finish this class, you must learn that all your large words have to be cutting through, and all your senses have to be cutting through, and you're going to make it right around the book. And bit by bit, during that period, I learned to write succinctly, simple words, moving that had completely destroyed my lungs of words and my long sentences. I learned a lot how to communicate effectively and write. And really take what was a good student and almost destroy it, spot, and grade. So I'm very grateful for that. He was one of the outstanding professors at the university. Most of his patients were part time would take a freshman in his class just because he enjoyed it. He didn't teach them. I was fortunate. So he was very grateful. The other professor, Russell Dixon, who was an economics professor, received from several years. First, by mistake, I thought he was a course. Though it was the only course I think I ended up getting to see in the entire part of my career. He taught me how to think. He was one of those professors would give you multiple choice questions, but they were not multiple choice they were always something tricky. They were always something question. And then the multiple choice would say, the answer is A, B, both of them, or C, all of the above, none of the above. I had a terrible how to think, how to dissect what meant by the question. I have written many before the secrets, of course. But I learned more about the thinking process and analyzing how to deal concepts with any other person. Later on, he and his wife became very good friends. He was super kind. Friendly social. Have dinner there once a month or so. And eventually we travel on vacation to Mexico. Stories I can tell you take all of the tape. But he was most economically something cheap person I've ever met. Five times. It wasn't so common. Very that he was using quality and so on. We endured him. There were various times in 71. In those days, stopping at the hotel, stopping at 4 o'clock. At whatever price, quote, you would say, oh, I had to expect to pay. Now, my wife did not understand what was going on because of the parents. And they would say, sir, we don't have to pay. Then, turn around and walk out. And he knew that about 75% they would say, but we do have this one room at the end of the hall, and they were full price. It was not as low as his, but was very substantially lower than before. And we would turn around and say, let me see the room. And so we would show to the magistrate. And by that way, we'd save 50% of the cost. Now is traveling all over the country. And if they didn't say anything, they didn't call Ted, he had stopped early enough and stopped traveling in an area where the other hotels were somewhere else. So they never well, it's that time that you learn from experience that really was wonderful. So he was a big choice. Not only while I was college, later on, years later, and I learned not just how to predict the crisis in college, but to find the education of the system to what people like, and how they like to respond. So though, I think those are two. The other person who was perhaps the most influential, his name was Marshall Robinson. He was the first dean of graduate business who put me into I had been in college. Todd Reed. Plaid tweed jacket with patches, you know. Students would just look at me as Mr. Chips, and we'd sit down and talk about the world. And he had an administrative post at the school, and he had been here for a long time. Thank you. was because of that set of opportunities he gave me. He's the one that started.
Before we leave this area, could you tell us about any honors and awards that you received during your years as a student?
Well, I was...
Just let me interrupt
sure.
for a moment. Would you tell us what year that Dr. Brown offered you to get this position?
Well, let's see. I think he offered me the assistantship about 1961, something like that. It was about 6 or 7 years before I ultimately became the dean of the school. It was interesting because I almost left the university several times. It was interesting. I'll tell you the story. When I had been assistant dean for a while, and then Dr. Robinson resigned as dean in order to go with the Ford Foundation. Eventually that became associate. And I had then wondered about the possibility of my being a dean somewhere. Certainly here, but somewhere else. So I did make myself available for several interviews at some of the universities, University of New Hampshire, taking a nice little Jewish boy from the University of Pittsburgh and sending him up to New Hampshire, a place called Durham, New Hampshire, to he sat around. One of the professors who was interviewing me said, we're very much in the basics here. We believe in grade schools and small children. We should teach reading, writing, and we don't require practice, art. We continue to talk about a lot of things, rich. Then we asked a final question. He said, you met my wife with this form of medicine. He said, you know, we broke the germ. We didn't see the drug school. And the professor said, well, we don't have drug schools. So he said, well, how do you get the scriptures? He said, well, he said, the next town is only 20 miles away. And he said, you pick up your prescriptions and you shoot school downtown. And once a day they come to pick up your prescriptions and they take your to the next town. My wife, no art, no grills on the elementary education, no prescriptions, no drug school. So at that point we didn't know what to do because clearly I was never going to get that thought advanced to Pittsburgh, primarily because of these drug schools on the side. But I did go to see the Vice Chancellor, and I told him the story. And I said, so I thought I'd come and ask you if there's ever a chance. He said, we know each other pretty well. He said, that's what I thought.
Could I ask who the vice president was?
Yeah. And I must say that it's very supportive of me personally. It's not reflecting his own position, reflecting what he saw. Well, shortly after that occurred, Edward Litchfield was proposed as Chancellor of the University, and the University went through a series of short-term chancellors, interim people, and ended up with David Kurtzman as acting chancellor. Situation was strange. They eventually made him chancellor.
And what year was this?
Oh, this was about. Oh, my goodness, when was this? I guess this was about 65 or 66, something in that general area. And I was looking at other positions, and suddenly in 1966, the dean who had replaced Marshall Robinson left the position. And they didn't quite know what to do, so they asked a retired professor of the school, preached in the dark, and they retired. He had to take the job as the director of our executive development, our management program, and he was a very well-known scholar in the field. Left Arkansas for 30 years now, or something. And he was retiring. And they really didn't know what they were. And it was in July, and they didn't know what they were going to do, and they didn't want to make any decisions about the situation. So they came up with a way to talk with this retiring professor, retiring director, and the executives to be a 2-year position as acting. Well, we'll make the 2-year period while we're searching. And he said, okay, I'll do that. Under what condition? He said, what's that? He said, well, the chair's office is a decision. I know he's looking for that. So, he and I together went down to see David Kurtzman. I didn't really want to stay because and I had already been out of teaching for a long time. By this time, I was very excited. So I was really. But anyhow, when Al Fry, professor said he would only take the job because he was not familiar with how the system was. And if I was an institution dean, I felt really like wise friend. So I agreed to stay on. And so I stayed on. And then, at the end of that period, right before that, came up to three, began to search. And because I was an associate, I sort of became an inside candidate. No one expected me to be successful. So they hadn't made any decision by the end of the second year. As you know, it's easy to find criticism of somebody who comes in to do a job. Great consensus on the office of the interim candidate, really. So, finally, July, retired professor left the university, retired permanently. He said, why don't you stay on? Promise you 2 years and that's all you can get. So they said to me, well, will you be the acting dean? And I said, well, I had 2 years to do it. I found somebody. But I didn't want to do that. So, that was the so they didn't say anything back. All of July. By this time, there was a new chancellor of the Professor Oswald in 1967. This was a little later. And this would be his first meeting. Everybody expected him to be a great conference from outside. This was the first meeting. And I was doubly sure that it was not going to be me. So, suddenly I get a call in August, and they said, you know, we think your business ought to know a lot more about business. It's been kept away from business, and I think that's a mistake. We like you to know business and business. Tell them about this. I guess I was half suspicious what was going on at the time. What was actually going on is they were floating the problem to see whether they sent a Jew downtown, that he would be found and have warrants or not. And so I first walked into the chairman of the bank. What do you think is the biggest problem that the corporations have hiring students from school? So I said, well, some of them have training programs which really don't take advantage of these MBAs and accountants. I described the training programs, but that doesn't help at all. They would have different kind of training programs. They would be able to hire the trainers. You just described how the training program. So I thought to myself, well, I'm dead now. I've just criticized this thing. It turned out to be a good program. And over a period of a couple of weeks, I went to see the chairman of PPG Industries, the chairman of Western Trials, and the whole series of people, ostensibly to tell them about business. This is what we're going, and this is how we're growing, this is how we're moving and proceeding, and so on. After a while, I sort of got the idea that indeed they were picking up the telephone immediately thereafter and saying something to the Chancellor of the University. So after I'd done this about 6 times, it was late in August, half September came. And I still had not agreed with the acting dean. So the school was operating under an associate dean. But during the previous 2 years, I had done a lot of political work anyhow, retired college. So stood there as dean, but he wasn't familiar with it. He didn't want to get familiar for 24 months, so I ended up getting involved. work, and I continue doing it. Finally, September 1968, sudden phone rings. I went down to his home. I remember sitting in his living room where he said to me, "Yeah, but and I must say, I was absolutely flabbergasted. And I have always felt grateful for giving me spiritual opportunity. First of all, I was not a national. No, I didn't know anyone. When I went to year before, since nobody else would go, I went to the National Meeting of Queens, United States 5 minutes strong. I remember going to San Diego, walking to the Grand Hotel in San Diego, and they had reception rooms there. And I went to 5 minutes. I did this. And I don't know if you've ever come into a reception. 500 people, where you don't know anybody whatsoever. And they're all making this small cocktail party talk with one another, and a lot of them knew one another, and I sort of sat there with my drink, looking around if I could find a friendly face, and everybody seemed to be huddled in groups. Well, I had no national sympathy. I had no, this is a group that I live in the present. And I always, at the reception, looked around for people holding the glass, standing alone, and went over and introduced myself to them. But at that time, so I knew that I was a nobody. Nobody knew me, and I didn't know them. So I figured it was possible I didn't know them. And I told them later, I never knew what to do. I wanted to ask me as a national figure. I also felt the internal candidate was not like it, because the internal candidate gives a certain message, whereas the creator of the external another message. So I
was... What was his later response to that?
He never asked me. I didn't tell him until he was at retirement. I didn't tell him that specifically. It was a dumb move on his part to make me mean, as I saw it at the time. Not because I thought I couldn't do the job, because I thought it was going to be a good thing and everything would work out well, but there was no way he would know that, and if I were in his position, that's not what I would have done. I would have opted for name, and two previous deans had been outsiders, promoted an associate dean previously who had been brought in by the university. And so they were all outsiders. So in any event, it was a strange turn of events. To this day, it can't really happen. Now as I approach 25 years of deanship, and I'm the president of the National Association, I look back with amazement at the small turns that one's life has affected and people affect. Now, it may be that he couldn't get any national figures at the time on which the faculty could agree. It may well be that the search committee, which was eventually endorsed me, decided that there were fewer people against or against everyone else, and it was not in support of me particularly, but it was I was the least of the evils because
else, everybody else had sufficient opposition built up to it, or whatever. It certainly wasn't because I had a national reputation, I was a great researcher, a great administrator. So I tend to feel to a certain extent by default more than anything else. And that may have been possible. He had no alternative. He knew that I wasn't willing to be acting, that he couldn't go on indefinitely. And he figured, well, the worst that could happen is I'll put this guy in and he won't get any salary increases or give him a hard time to leave or whatever. Or I'll fire him. I don't know what would be.